Hi, it's Dacker. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there, which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. The Science of Happiness is proudly brought to you by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Discover the latest findings in neuroscience, cosmology, and the origins of life at templeton.org.
I am Basma Allawi, born and raised in Baghdad, Iraq, mother of two.
Hi, I'm Rosa Gomez. I'm a second-year student studying political science and journalism.
We left in January of 2010. Not many family members knew that we were leaving and seeking refuge, and we didn't share that because of their safety. So we moved to Jacksonville, Florida.
I'm from Minnesota. My dad is an immigrant from Honduras. Currently, I'm living in Wisconsin where I go to school.
This will be my first presidential election that I am voting at. It's exciting. In the same time, it's really scary feeling. I think everyone talking about what's after November.
I am a first-time voter because I just wasn't old enough. It'll be my first presidential election where I am of age to vote.
For me, if the mothers vote, the whole house, the whole family will vote because she will make sure everyone listens to her.
People don't really vote alone, like you're gonna go with your kids or you're gonna go with your husband or your sister or someone.
My two girls, they're gonna come with me when I'm voting this year. We're gonna do early voting.
When I return my absentee ballot, like we stuck a couple in the mail at the same time, like all my roommates and I just did it at once, you know, so you're not doing it alone. It's more than one vote.
If I am not voting, if other community is not voting, who's just gonna be voting? We want everyone to vote so we could get the representation that reflects us. I was told a saying by my boss. She said, Basma, if you are not at the table, you are on the menu. And if we either gonna be at the table or in the menu. And I don't think anyone would like to be in the menu.
Hi, I'm Shuka Kalantari, the senior producer of The Science of Happiness, filling in for Dacher Keltner. Today we're looking at the act of voting and what that has to do with our happiness. Our guests are Basma Allawi and Rosa Gomez. This year they'll be voting in a U.S. presidential election for the first time. Rosa wasn't old enough to vote before, and Basma was still in the process of getting her citizenship during the 2016 election. They're both working now to get others in their community to vote as well. Later, we'll also explore how voting is linked to better health and success in life. Basma and Rosa, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
So Basma, you work with the Florida Immigrant Coalition, focusing on getting immigrants registered to vote. And Rosa, you volunteer with the nonprofit Next Gen America, focusing on getting university students registered to vote. What motivates the two of you to put so much energy into getting other people to vote?
A really motivating factor has been my dad. Like, immigration is something that I'm really passionate about. I was on the phone with my sibling the other day. We were talking about a photo that we saw where we were both kids. I barely even remember this. And our parents took us to, it was a rally or a protest for immigration. We kept talking, and I was in first grade when my dad became a US citizen. And then I was thinking again, and like a few years later, I was volunteering at a naturalization ceremony at my high school. Like, these are just things that keep coming up in my life because I'm just really passionate about them, obviously because they affect me, but they are just really important values in my life. But it is also very inspiring to be able to work with like-minded individuals who, you know, when you're the same age, you're experiencing a lot of the same things. We're going through a lot of the same emotions and things happening in life, and kind of being able to feel like, hey, I'm not alone here, like in my generation trying to make a better place. I just think it's really, it's really refreshing. And I think that's probably a feeling that carries out throughout your life.
Basma, what about you?
I think my main reason why I start doing this work, because when I end up as a refugee in the United States, and by the way, refugees don't choose the country or the city or the state that they will be resettled at. And when I arrived, I saw that the community, some community members were welcoming and really trying to make sure that our needs met, understand who we are and where we are coming from. And I faced some kind of discrimination against me as a refugee, against others, because of the way I look, because of the way I talk. It just led me to say, hey, it's enough. I think if I'm not going to speak about it, it's going to continue to others. I want my daughters who are going to grow up to be Muslim, women of color, hijabi or not, that's your choice. But I want them to feel welcome. I want them to make sure that this is their home.
With all that being said, about half the people who are eligible to vote in the U.S. don't actually vote. How do you explain the importance of voting when you're talking with your friends?
I think to be able to say that you don't feel like you need to vote is a privilege, right? Because the things that are being decided in the government in elections are not going to influence your life. So I think when I talk with my friends, I kind of open up a more personal side where, you know, I talk about my dad and how he's an immigrant. I talk about being a member of the LGBTQ+ community. I talk about very personal things where voting and things that are decided in our elections, values that are on the line in our elections, have the ability to drastically change my life. You know, and it kind of comes down to, do you care about me? Do you care about people like me? Are you willing to vote to show that, like, I'm your friend, that you care about me and my rights?
How do you think that the work that you do, getting people to vote on campus, affects your kind of connection to, like, this greater community?
From doing this work and from talking about politics, I have made some of my closest friends. And I think that's what a lot of us get out of it. Yes, we are, you know, doing the good work, like getting people out to vote. Yes, we're making a difference in our community. But we're also creating a community. Like, we're creating a community of people with shared values. And for me, when I see something like that, I am inspired, and it makes me happy, and it brings my heart a lot of joy to know that there are people out there that have incredible values and that are going to be putting in so much work just because they care about other people. And for me, that is what makes me happy. That is what empowers me and inspires me to keep going, and that is why I have some of the most amazing friends that I have now, is because of the work that I have done.
Thank you. And Basma, what about you? I mean, there's been some literature about how civic engagement can really help immigrant communities feel more connected with the country they're in. How has it affected you personally to be doing this kind of work?
I think just like as much as politics divide people, I can say it does bring people together, because I mean, in the end, people care about their faith, they care about their values. And I see now during the election, really, like, we were during the debate, I love that kind of action, but we had a WhatsApp party as much as we can do during COVID. But we were like a group of organizers, maybe 20 to 30, watching the debate and texting each other. So I think it definitely bring people together. It definitely create community, especially during COVID. People were so disconnected. I think before I start to be civically engaged, before that, I always felt I'm a visitor. One day, things gonna get better, and I'm going back to see my family and stay with them. I think after I start being more civically engaged and learn about the process, I felt more rooted to here. I felt more that I really need to make a difference.
getting out the vote, doing things like this, can sort of be this double-edged sword. It's satisfying, but it's also potentially super stressful. What has your stress level been like during this process? And then how do you kind of cope and reset to take care of your own well-being throughout?
I mean, honestly, my stress levels have been really high. They have been really high. I feel like for a lot of us, we feel like kind of the entire weight of the election like kind of rests on our shoulder. Like we are responsible for getting people registered, like returning absentee. Like I feel like we're responsible for a lot. Like you have to commit yourself as an ally to these groups. And part of that is a lifelong commitment to education. And I feel like the more that you learn, there's a lot of injustices that you kind of absorb. And I think it's really easy to feel like you are responsible for fixing every issue, every injustice in the world. Like it is up to you to fix it. And I think it's really important to have the mindset. This is something that I have to think about a lot, that at the end of the day, I am one person. I can do the best that I can, but I am one person. And what really helps me manage my stress levels through all of this is to know that it starts in my community. It starts with the people around me that I am influencing, and I hopefully am inspiring to do better.
So much of what you're talking about has been studied, this idea of what motivates us, what predicts whether or not we'll be voting, is this sort of unselfish concern for others' well-being. And it sounds to me like you're saying, like, this concern is what helps propel you.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I spoke at a rally a couple weeks ago, obviously, about voting. And one thing that I spoke about is to vote with a very unprivileged lens. You know, vote like your skin is not white. Vote like you're not straight and cisgender. Vote like you're not afforded permanent residency in this country. Vote with, in a very unselfish way, vote in mind with vulnerable and marginalized communities.
So I want to turn to you, Basma, and ask you that same question. What is your stress level like and how do you cope?
Definitely, it's overwhelming. It's stressful. Some days I cannot even breathe right because there's so many things to catch on. But I can tell you like this, what heals me, because that's actually what helps me really continuing this kind of work. One of the stories is actually really personal story to me, which is my husband and my sister, who since I started engaging in politics and in advocacy and doing all of this work, they keep telling me, stop, it's too much. Like, how many people are you going to be able to change? Really, you are hurting yourself. But in this election, they are both doing phone banking. So it's actually, they are doing the work. My husband, as soon as he come back from work, he takes my other computer and he goes to his room and do the work. And looking at these other community members who I never see them talking about politics, but because one, it could be one person passion who influenced all the people around. And it's always important to communicate our value with others, because as passionate as we could be about it, it will transfer. And now that's why you see my husband in the other room doing phone banking. My sister's texting me what kind of response she's getting. She's getting her friend to do the same thing. And they are in other states and doing calls for Florida. So for me, it's a healing moment.
Thank you both so much for taking the time to join me on The Science of Happiness today. I really enjoyed talking with both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How is being civically engaged early in life linked to better health and higher income later in life?
So we thought about voting, activism, and volunteering. And then we wanted to know, how do those relate with different forms of well-being?
More up next.
Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness.
As a developmental psychologist, it's really clear to me that the world needs young people to be engaged with social issues and that all aspects of young people's lives are interconnected.
Parisa Ballard is an assistant professor in family and community medicine at the Wake Forest School of Medicine.
So how young people engage with their communities is connected with every other aspect of young people's lives.
Parisa wanted to know how voting and other acts of civic engagement were linked to people's well-being later in life.
The big question of this study was, does civic engagement during adolescence and young adulthood promote health, education, and income level over the course of adulthood?
She and her team analyzed data from 9,000 people who researchers had been following since the late 90s, when they were around 15 years old.
So we examined these three different forms of civic engagement, voting, volunteering, and activism, and how they were related with these five outcomes: mental health, risky health behaviors, and physical health, and then income and education.
At the outset of the study, they grouped people together based on similar demographics, like their race, education, and socioeconomic status.
And we also matched them on their health background, social connections, for example, to neighbors and teachers and parents, and things like school performance.
Then they looked at data from when they were about 18 to 23 years old to see if they had voted, volunteered, or did some form of activism.
And then the outcome data would be from about 6 to 8 years after that, so then they would have been in their mid to late 20s.
Parisa's team found that people who voted when they were young adults later reported better mental health than people who hadn't voted. They were also less likely to do things that were bad for their physical health, like drinking or smoking.
We found that all three forms of civic engagement, voting, volunteering, and activism, were positively associated with later income and education level.
The study couldn't directly explain why this connection exists, but Parisa has her own idea.
I think a lot of times when you cast a vote, it's something that you do when you might feel a part of your community, like you're making your voice heard because it's something you care about. So if you think about voting and volunteering, that might connect you with other people who do similar things. It might open up your eyes to opportunities. It might make you think about your future differently. So it's kind of potentially a way to increase social connectedness for young people, to provide them with opportunities, and to allow them to define and enact their values.
I'm Shuka Kalantari, senior producer of The Science of Happiness, filling in for Dacher Keltner this week. We'd love to hear from you about your hopes for the future of the U.S., regardless of the outcome of the election. How would you like to see us become a more inclusive, cohesive, and compassionate society? Email your thoughts to greater@berkeley.edu. Include your name, age, and location, and we may feature you in our online magazine, Greater Good. Our podcast is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRX. Production assistance from Jenny Cataldo and Ben Manila of BMP Audio. Our associate producer is Haley Gray. Our executive producer is Jane Park. Our editor-in-chief is Jason Marsh.
From PRX.